just listening to the congregation, the sniffs, the coughs, so on and so forth. We've got a lot of stuff going around right now, so let's continue to keep all of our folks in our prayers and hope we can all survive this and get over this pretty quickly. You might return your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 23, 24, and 25 in just a moment. Quite a number of years ago, I remember receiving a bulletin article that was entitled, Fill the Ditch or Sell the Ox. I couldn't come to services because the ox was in the ditch. May have been one of the most used arguments for not attending the services of a church that people have used over the years. Everybody goes to Luke chapter 14, verse 5. If the ox falls in the pit, lesson. The gist of the article is quite obvious, though. If your ox keeps falling in the ditch, solve the problem. Either get rid of the ditch, or get rid of the ox, rather, or fill that ditch up so they don't keep falling in it. I remember quite a number of years ago, a place that I preached. I think this was maybe the only passage that a gentleman and his wife knew very well. It was Luke 14:5. Well, the ox was in the ditch, couldn't make it. And I came to the conclusion that he was either a very comfortable man and had an awful lot of oxen, or he had a dumb ox. Because it kept getting in the ditch. And he couldn't be there. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24 and 25, the Hebrew writer says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now concerning this passage, it is often misquoted as not forsaking the assembly of the saints. The truth of the matter is we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There is a difference. Somebody could say, well, I made it this time, so I didn't forsake the assembly, but I didn't make it all these other times. But if it's talking about the assembling of the saints, we need to be here every opportunity that we have. Every time that the saints are assembling, we need to try to be here. Now, I've said this before, and I've talked on lessons on this before, and we've really gone over this a lot before, so I'm not going to use this passage again. We're not going to come back to this. I'm not here to try to browbeat anybody. I'm not here to try to badger you. I'm not here to put shame upon anybody, but rather to promote a good and honest heart toward our assembling together to worship our God. Not going to try to browbeat anybody. Don't want to badger you into a proper attendance, as it were. First of all, for the most part, I don't think it works. You know, browbeating and badgering, eventually what that's going to do is going to push somebody away. Second, this is probably one of the most well-worn, most preached lessons that you'll find anywhere on church attendance. Don't want to go over that again. Third, we've all read multiple articles that use this particular passage. Rather, what I want to do is ask of ourselves some questions. And hopefully what we'll do is instill a drive and a desire toward better attendance of the church. The times that we come together, the times that we are assembling ourselves together. I'm not going to overwhelm you with a lot of scripture in this lesson. I'm going to suggest to you that there may be some, when it's all said and done, will make a determination in their mind that they're not going to come back. Pardon me. But let me suggest to you that if you do that, it's not going to solve any problems. It's not going to solve anything, and in fact, it might end up costing you your soul. What we want to do is lovingly approach this important subject. Now, this particular thing that I'm doing right here, I did in a sermon about 8 years ago now. About 9 years ago. I'm sorry. My math is good. About 9 years ago now. The numbers are a little bit different from 9 years ago, but you know, the averages are about the same. It has been well said, and I tend to agree with it, that statistics don't lie, not when they're done properly. Now, we all understand that we can skew those statistics and those numbers and we can mess things up. But when we take just raw data and we look at the statistics and we lay it out there, it usually pretty much tells the story, doesn't it? Pretty much gives us a picture. Now, the stats that I'm looking at, I took over about a 12-week period of time that ended just before our Thanksgiving holiday started. And then we got busy into the Christmas holidays and all that. Those would really skew numbers badly. Sunday morning average worship has been about 86. Sunday PM worship average about 46. And Wednesday evenings average about 52. Now, when you look at this, Sunday morning, evening drop-off, that time from Sunday morning to Sunday evening, that period that we look at there, what our attendance is on Sunday mornings and what it is on Sunday evenings is about a 47% drop-off. On Sunday morning to Wednesday evening, it's about a 41% drop-off rate. And it's really to this 41 to 47% that we're kind of dedicating this lesson and this whole concept. We all understand, folks, that there are times when we just simply can't be here. We understand that. Occasionally, it is a job that causes us that we cannot be there. Something has gone wrong, and we just have to be. As much as we don't want to do it, we don't want to miss our time together, we have to do that. We understand sometimes that sickness, and listening to this group around here and listening to me talk right now, we understand that. Sometimes it's just best not to be here. You don't want to infect somebody else. We understand that those situations are beyond our control. And God does not expect the impossible from us, by the way. There have been times, we understand this, that basically we've gotten on the phone and started making the calls to everybody and said, guess what, tomorrow morning we're not going to come together because the roads are supposed to be icy and dangerous. And the best thing to do is let's just postpone and see if we can make it Sunday evening after it's warmed up and the roads are clear. God understands those things. We do too. He doesn't expect us to do the impossible. He doesn't expect us to do those things that are foolish. So those aren't the things that we're talking about here. When we talk about these statistics, when we talk about the tremendous drop-off rate between 41 and 47% from Sunday morning to Sunday night and from Sunday morning to Wednesday night, those are things we're really wanting to address. Here are some questions that maybe we can ponder a little bit. We can kind of work over in our own minds. When you stop and think about these kinds of numbers, could or would a business tolerate an absenteeism rate of about 41 to 47% anywhere from one-third to two-thirds of the time? I think we know the answer to that, don't we? Would your boss, if you are still employed, if you're still working in the workforce, and if you aren't, think back in time, would your boss excuse that kind of delinquency from us? The question is, and we know the answer to that, by the way, it's a rhetorical question. We know what his answer would be. No, they wouldn't tolerate that. Then why should God excuse it? You say, well, because God is patient and long-suffering toward us. Yes, He is. But it doesn't mean it is indefinite. God's patience can wear thin. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 and 10, it shows us that there is a limit to God's patience. There is going to come a day when this world that we have, this marvelous life that we get to live, is going to come to an end, whether it be by our death or by the end of the world itself. Does anyone really believe that God will excuse this kind of delinquency when it comes to judgment day? Maybe we just have not really thought about it. Maybe that's part of the problem, is that we just haven't really wrestled with this before, and I want us to do that in this time that we have together this morning, is to really wrestle with these types of things. Think about this for just a moment. And I'm trying to think out there. I guess we have a couple of you out there that are self-employed. How long would your business last if you were only open, say, 3 days out of the week for about 3 to 4 hours, maybe 5 hours out of an entire day? How long would you keep your customers coming back to you when they figured out you're never there? Or when they really need you, you aren't there? How long would you allow your employees to work, say, a half a day for just a few days out of an entire week, maybe even 2 days out of an entire week, and yet receive their full pay and compensation and benefits and all of that? You probably wouldn't tolerate that very long, would you? Not realistically. How long do we think the church in Taylor is going to be here if our dedication is no better than 41 to 47%, or maybe even 53 or 55 or 60% of real dedication? Now, I realize that the church is not a business in its traditional form, in the classical sense of the word business. But folks, we are in the business to save lost souls. We are in the business of serving one another and serving people in and around us. Let's ask ourselves this question. What would happen to the church today if everyone started attending the way that I attend? Just ask ourselves that question. If the church attendance in general mirrored mine, would it be a positive thing? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves. What is the maximum that I can gain in knowledge and fellowship when I choose not to be there anywhere from a third to two-thirds of the meeting times? Folks, there's an old expression, and it's so true, you only get out of something what you put into it. If I don't put much effort into something, I'm not going to get much out of it. Some of you remember the bulletin article that I didn't write. Do you remember that? And I put that bulletin article in the bulletin, the bulletin article I didn't write. And it was a blank page. And the title of that bulletin article was something to the effect of that. You get out of it what you put into it. And when you tried to read that bulletin article that I didn't write, there wasn't anything there, was it? Now, I did put at the end of that, the editor's notes, some lessons we can learn. They did a good one to repeat that one. That was an easy bulletin article to write, by the way. It didn't take me long. But, folks, the point is, you can't get out of something what you don't put into it. If I don't really put something into it, I can't get it out. I can't get anything out of it. Let's remember that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. You can't fool God. We can't trick God. We can't say, well, God, you know, I'm really putting a lot into this, when in reality I'm not putting anything into it. He knows whether or not I'm doing it or not. What if the preacher and his family began to just kind of indiscriminately miss services? Well, you know, I just don't want to be here that weekend. Don't want to be here that Sunday. I'm going to tell you right now, if he got to keep his job at all, at the very least you'd want his pay cut, wouldn't you? If you had a vote right today, if we passed out slips of paper right today, and everybody, every member of this congregation got to have a vote, would we just simply say, let's just end Sunday evening and Wednesday evening services. Let's just get rid of them. How would we vote? And yet, in reality, we kind of cast a vote every time that we come together as a body, don't we? We kind of cast that vote. It's kind of like saying, okay, I'm not going to hand out a slip of paper, and the elders don't really want to know. Do we want to just kind of disregard from now on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings? I'll just preach. I'll make extra long sermons, and I'll just preach a really long sermon on Sunday morning. We just don't come back again until next Sunday. Folks, there are people in the religious world and some in our own brotherhood who have started doing that. But we do cast a vote, don't we? In reality. We have to ask ourselves, is meeting with the saints on Sundays and Wednesdays doing that which is good or that which is evil? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? And if we determine, well, it's not really a good thing at all, why are we doing it? But if it is good, then James chapter 4, verse 17 compels us to be here, doesn't it? To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you believe that it's a bad thing, well, I would suggest, first of all, show me in the Bible where it is wrong and it is bad and it's something we should not be doing. Last question. What do we think the outcome would be if we decided that we would be parents to our children for about a third? Oh, well, let's give it even two-thirds of the time. Let's say between one-third and two-thirds of the time, we're just going to look at our kids and go, sorry, you're hungry. I know you've outgrown your shoes, and I know that your pants don't fit anymore, or that dress just doesn't look, it's just tattered now, but you haven't caught me at the right time to make sure that you get to eat, or we go buy you some new shoes or put new clothes on your back. We can't do that, can we? There's not one person, especially those who have children, and I'm going to suggest to you, probably not one person, even if you've never had children, would say that would be a good idea. What we would say is, no, I'm a parent. And I'm a parent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And whatever's required of me, I'm going to give 100%. Or as we like to say nowadays, I'm going to give 110%. I'm not sure if that's really possible. But I'm going to do it. Now, last thought, and the lesson will be yours. Any change that comes is not going to come from the pulpit. Any change that comes is not going to come from the elders. In reality, any change that comes from within, from us, must come from within. It's not even going to come from our family and our friends. It's got to come from me. Neither the elders, nor I, nor any individual member can beg, plead, urge, badger, I like that word, shame anybody into faithful attendance. It's not possible. Now, it can be an encourager, you know, and I'm not sure the term badger or shame somebody is going to be an encourager, but to plead with or urge, yeah, that can encourage. We can exhort. We can even show every good reason in the world, every benefit in the world for being here, every opportunity that we have to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ. But in the end analysis, they're only encouragers. This is why I've chosen to get us to think and reason correctly by using some common sense reasoning questions. We must first change our heart and our attitude about meeting with other people of like precious faith, other people who encourage us, other people just simply because they're here and we see their faces and we see them smile and we talk to them, even if it's not about something great or significant on that particular Sunday, that we're encouraged, that we're excited about being people of like precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. And with a change of mind will come a transformation in actions to encourage, to strengthen, to be with each other. And of course, our sole purpose outside of exhorting one another is to praise and worship and serve our God in every way possible. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, you know what you need to do to be saved. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and have your sins washed away by the precious blood of Christ. We encourage you to do that today, not to put it off for another moment. If you're a child of God and you strayed away, you've not been living as God would have you live, and you need to come back to God. Come back to His people. And be the people that God wants us to be. We encourage you to do that as well. But whatever your need may be, if we can help, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?